the Pleasant Street Tea Company once again with Heather Atwood. And Heather has returned from Montreal. Do you have some French food up there?
I had some amazing food up there. Yes, French country, like really, really country food.
Wait, so is that like country fried chicken in France or what?
How do I describe this? I think I have to introduce this restaurant by telling you that Anthony Bourdain ate there, okay. And it's one of his favorite places in the world. Okay, does that say enough?
Okay, and that's something I've actually heard of.
Heard of it. Have you ever heard of foie gras? Foie gras is...
You could, by the silence, it was no,
yeah,
I haven't.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Goose liver pate. It's, you know...
Well,
yeah?
Goose liver pate.
Oh. Yes, yes. So it's... And there are all kinds of terrible ways, supposedly, that they make this, but it's a delicacy in France. And, you know, Montréal is French. And this restaurant is called Au Pied de Cochon, which means the pig's foot, okay? And it has... I would say it takes French country food and inflates it into this incredibly inventive form. So one of their most famous dishes, so first of all, I have to back up and say everything is incredibly rich, incredibly indulgent, incredibly meat heavy, including foie gras. Almost everything on the menu has foie gras on it or in it. Their most famous dish is something called duck in a can. Okay, so they take a half a duck, they take something like 5 ounces of this foie gras, duck liver pate, they take sautéed cabbages and carrots and onions and something called celeriac puree. They put all that in a can, okay? A half a duck, foie gras, the vegetables, there's a beautiful balsamic vinegar sauce, all that goes in this can. When you order this dish... They submerge the can, closed still, in boiling water for 27 minutes. It comes to you, the can. They bring you the can. They open the can in front of you, and they empty it onto a plate that has some toasts and I think some more potatoes. So this entire duck falls onto your plate with all these vegetables, the foie gras, the sauce. The whole thing is a contained meal. And it is the most perfectly cooked duck I have ever had. If anyone could see, I always make his eyes roll. I always make him squirm. He's squirming all over the place.
Yeah, we need to do this in video.
We need visuals.
How do you get to learn about that? Where did you learn about all those terms you just used and to go into a place and order? You've got so much experience about this, and how does that come about?
Well, when you think about food and you pay attention to that whole world, just the way, you know, you pay attention to the sports world, okay. And those terms are not fancy terms, Rick, I promise you. But this restaurant is a bit of a legend. If you Google it, it comes up right away because it is such a famous sort of destination site.
I'm sure we'll have a lot of listeners on Cape Ann who've been there.
Yeah, no, I'm sure there have. And if they haven't been there, they've heard about it. Or they've seen the segment with Anthony Bourdain eating there, and he is eating duck in a can.
Okay, now the big question for me here, is there wine that goes with this?
Yes, they have a fabulous wine list, actually. I had I started out with something called a Ruy, R-U-L-L-Y, which is a Chablis from France, and it was absolutely delicious. And I had another glass of wine after that. I can't quite remember. That one was so perfect with the foie gras that we started out with. We started out with a foie gras that was wrapped in a Japanese dumpling dough, poached and served in a dashi broth. Dashi is a Japanese style, very thin soup. So just to be clear, the foie gras section on this menu is about 7 courses long. They have all these different ways of just serving foie gras. And I happen to notice, because I actually own the Au Pied de Cochon cookbook. And in that cookbook, I noticed just this morning, they have a lobster roll. And their lobster roll is served this way. They bake their own hot dog roll. They put, I think, maybe a half a pound of lobster in that roll. They top it with foie gras and cheddar cheese. And it goes under a broiler. So, as I said, there is foie gras in almost everything.
Wow, okay.
So, it's fascinating. It's a fun trip.
What about, I can imagine, and that's, that's an entire day in itself, isn't it, almost?
No, you mean this restaurant? No.
A meal. I mean,
it is,
You don't go in for 20 minutes.
You do not. And, no, we were there for at least 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even the owner said, you just have to abandon any idea of eating nutritiously when you eat in this restaurant. You know, this is not healthy food. This is food that is, but it's also incredibly well prepared. It's not just like poutine, which is a lot of French fries and the cheese stuff, you know, thrown on a plate. This is beautifully, beautifully prepared. It just happens to be really heavy in meats and fats and cheeses, but the quality of all the ingredients is superior. So that's part of what makes it so great.
Now, when you dine in that manner, and I'm getting a little personal here, do you get to share that with someone? Does your husband enjoy it as much and have the different flavors?
He loves it more than I do. He loves this sort of food. So,
because that's part of the experience also.
Oh, yeah. We had a great time. Mm-hmm. We sat at the bar because we couldn't get a reservation at a table. Mm-hmm. And we chatted with people beside us. And we were able to watch the kitchen right in front of us preparing the ducks in a can. Mm-hmm. So another dish it's just a tiny, tiny little taste they do, is they deep fry little cubes of foie gras. So that's, you know, we saw them breading the cubes and throwing them in the fryer, and then they handed it to us, and you just pop one in your mouth, and it just explodes in your mouth. But my husband loves it. It's really fun.
I feel like I should be studying yoga or something. I'm becoming enlightened. This is amazing. Get out of my little sports world here. Okay, so let's change subjects now, and we've been talking about the top 50 dishes in the world, and, of course, my favorite is chips, and another favorite is popcorn, and we are at, I believe, number 39 now?
38 and 39.
Okay.
Yep. So, but we're moving backwards. You're right. So we're at 39.
Okay.
So you're going to like 39.
Okay.
Ketchup.
Not only do I like 39, but I was not a Republican nor a Democrat, but I was not a fan of Ronald Reagan until he declared ketchup a vegetable. So, yeah, I do. I'm good with that one.
Yeah, I knew you would be. Mm-hmm. But you won't be good with the story behind it. Because there's actually a really long, interesting history to ketchup. Let's start with a name. Do you have any idea where that name came from?
I don't know if it's a sound alike. I mean, obviously, kids, you know, you catch up to something, but then you've got cats up. So, no, I don't.
Southeast China. It's actually a term that comes from the Hokkien dialect in China. And ketchup comes from China.
Fascinating.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
So in Southeast Asia now, certainly you may know about fish sauce. It's a Vietnamese. Okay. So in the 17th and 18th centuries, as there is today, there was a condiment in Southeast China that included fermented fish, basically. And so this is, and actually that recipe dates back to like 300 or something.
Wow.
So, and it was used as a condiment on all sorts of things. And where I mentioned the 17th and 18th centuries, because American and European colonies were, they were venturing over there for all kinds of reasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the West began to learn about this condiment, and they brought it back probably to England, okay? So the word itself is from this Hokkien dialect, ko chep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't speak Chinese, but it's something like that. And that word has not changed since the 17th and 18th centuries.
Say it again. What you think it sounds like?
Ko chep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought it back to England, and it had no tomatoes in it. For years, for hundreds of years, there were no tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
What the English and then the Americans were tasting in China was a fermented fish sauce, right? So they brought it back to England, and they tried to remake it. And when they remade it, they made it with ingredients like oysters and mushrooms and anchovies and walnuts, okay? There was not a tomato in sight.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And this goes back to our conversation last week. What they were trying to reproduce was the umami taste that came from that condiment they were eating in China. So all those ingredients, the fish sauce, the fermented fish sauce, anchovies, walnuts, mushrooms, oysters, they all have the common ingredient or the commonality among them is this umami taste, which is one of it's the fifth sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a scent that tells your body there's protein in there someplace. And it's the savory sense. So it was not until 1861 that anyone thought to do this with tomatoes. And that's when they started to make
how
do you like that?
Wow.
What a history.
Does present day ketchup taste anything like the Chinese condiment?
Well, no, but it probably tastes, because that one had no tomatoes, but it probably tastes a lot like the one made in 1861. I'm sure it does, okay. Actually. Yeah.
Well, I feel better. That's something. Great story, though. Fantastic
right?
story. Yeah.
Right?
All right. What about number 38?
Okay, 38. And you know what? This is the first time I'm really stumped. I knew nothing about this number 38.
Mm-hmm.
Hong Kong French toast.
Mm-hmm. Well, that can't be too difficult.
Right. And you would probably love it. It is two pieces of white bread with peanut butter in the middle, deep fried, served with maple syrup or condensed milk on top. Okay? It couldn't be sweeter. To me, it sounds horrible.
Yeah.
This is one of the more famous recipes
really?
In Hong Kong. Yeah. This is a really big deal, and I didn't know that.
Sounds like it'll fill you up in the morning.
You're not kidding. Mm. Oh, my gosh. And it's and I think it's so interesting that... So it's clearly, you know, appropriation of our French toast, right?
Mm-hmm.
But... Then they take it and they just make it so indulgent and so sweet. I mean, this when you look at pictures of this, it is like fried sugar and fat. And not necessarily the best ways, I don't think. So, but it's popular in Hong Kong.
Wow.
Made number 38.
Okay. Wow. Those are great. Okay. So let's bring us up to date on the other cape.
The other cape, we posted, let's see, did I talk about the little inn? I think I did on Bearskin Neck last week. The little motor lodge, the Bearskin Neck. Neck Motor Lodge.
Well, you can tell us again.
Okay, I'll tell you again. This adorable young couple purchased the Bearskin Neck Motor Lodge at the very end of Bearskin Neck on the left if you're going down. It looks, we all know it when you sort of think about it. If you've been on Bearskin Neck, you say, oh my gosh, yeah, I know that place.
Mm-hmm.
The cars pull right up to the door.
Yep.
And they have updated it so it's like a little bit modern, a little bit hip, and they're running it as a beautiful little... You know, Motor Lodge, and it's all updated. So that's a story there. But we posted a new story today that I wrote on the plant shack down on Rocky Neck, headed towards Rocky Neck, right across from Beacon Marine.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay Maver is this young woman who started the plant shack. She's from Beverly, but she lived in California and Hawaii for a long time. And came back with this whole kind of succulent plant mojo. And so she sells all kinds of succulents. And she has an amazing style. She also sells shoes and jewelry and kind of kitschy planters. She's great.
All right. And this is the other cape dot.
The other cape dot com. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
Anything else? We talked about Pied du Cochon. I wanted to talk about that. I needed to talk about duck in a can. But I think that's it for me today. Yeah.
Okay. That's going to be with me for a while, I got to tell you. All right. That is Heather Atwood. This is MSONewsSports.com.